I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. An article in The Atlantic caught our attention. The town that decided to send all its kids to college. Residents of Baldwin, Michigan pooled together their money to provide scholarships for everyone. The college in the article goes on to say this: college never looked like much of an option. It's a tiny town of 1,200 located in the woods of the Manistee National Forest. Only 12 of the 32 kids who graduated high school in 2005 enrolled in college, and only two of those got their bachelor's degree. Now, nearly everybody who graduated from the high school in June is off to a four-year college, a community college, or a technical school. So, how did that happen? That's the focus of this hour, and we'll have several guests with us. Stiles Simmons is the superintendent of Baldwin Community Schools in Michigan. Before becoming superintendent, he was an elementary school teacher in the district, and before that, a literacy coach for Detroit Public Schools. He received his master's from Wayne State University. And Stiles, thank you very, very much for being with us. Should be a great hour. Hi.
Hi, Kathleen. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, our pleasure. Also joining us is Ayanna Richardson, the executive director of the Baldwin College Access Center and the Promise Zone. Before that, she worked as an education director for a nonprofit in Ann Arbor. And in her current role at the College Access Center, she instituted a decision day, which is a big assembly where seniors walk out into the auditorium and announce that they are going to college and say where they're going. She has two master's degrees from the University of Michigan. Ayanna, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, our pleasure. And a little bit later, we'll be speaking with a student who graduated high school from Baldwin in 2015, and she's in college right now. So let's start with you, Stiles. How in the world did this come about? Who had this idea everybody should go to college?
Well, it came about, I would say, around the mid-2000s, so around 2006, 2007. There was the previous superintendent, along with some members of the Baldwin Rotary Club, who began having conversations about the level of apathy that they observed with many of our students, the lack of student achievement, and just begin to have discussions about how they could change the culture. Others began to engage in that discussion, which included members of our Lake County Community Foundation, and most importantly, Mr. Rick Simonson, who's a former graduate or a graduate of Baldwin High School. I think he graduated in the class of 1968, mm-hmm. and he was a former parliamentarian for the Republican Party here in Michigan. And so he had significant political ties. So he began to really turn up the heat, so to speak, on getting some sort of creating some sort of incentive for students to seek higher education or post-secondary opportunities. And once the ball got rolling, the rest is history.
And I understand that he just asked people to give money, right? He asked teachers, he asked everybody, give money. We hope everybody will give $500.
Yes, it was a grassroots effort, soliciting funds from teachers, from community members, from business folks, folks who have second properties here within the county who were interested in doing something spectacular for our kids. And so, he really led the effort to getting the scholarship program up and running. I think Ayanna can probably speak a little bit more to the some of the efforts of Rick Simonson as well as others of the Baldwin Promise Authority.
Sure. Go ahead, Ayanna.
Well, initially, Rick definitely spearheaded all of the fundraising efforts here. One of the things about Baldwin, because we are in an area where we don't have maybe a big corporate organization or business here, so he definitely spoke to a number of community members, like Stiles mentioned, getting the teachers and the school district on board. And he had this vision, Rick did, something to mirror a program like the Kalamazoo Promise. So, you know, he started those efforts. A lot of the community members worked on those efforts with him. And then what came about was the legislation. Since he was so connected politically in Lansing, he found out about the legislation that was being created to create these promise zones. And he, from the efforts of raising money, I want to say they had a goal of $120,000, which, having a small community, that's a lot of money.
Yes, it is.
But I want to say they raised between, I mean, $140,000 to $160,000, and that included just private donations from a number of people, the committee of 100, which was everybody who donated $500. So those people who donated those $500 became a part of this committee of 100. The Lake County Community Foundation was also asked to get on board. You had some grants that were written as well. So the efforts were really, you know, this idea came and they really put their foot forward. And then when the legislation came out through the state of Michigan, Baldwin was the first to apply. You know, the grassroots efforts had already started, and then it was this opportunity that just kind of came about. And so Baldwin went ahead and applied, and we were designated as a promise zone area for the scholarships for the students.
Mm-hmm. And describe the community styles for me. It's a relatively rural, would you describe it as a poor community?
Yes. In fact, our distinction, according to the State Department, is that we are a remote rural area.
Remote?
Yes. So we're pretty isolated. Geographically, the district is pretty large. We have about 560 square miles. However, we are sparsely populated. We have, in total, about 11,000 to 12,000 permanent residents here in Lake County.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty, that's a pretty small number in comparison to other counties around us and counties here in the state of Michigan. However, we're unique because we have a lot of second homes or second properties here. And so the county swells to about maybe 35 to 40,000 residents during the spring and summer times. So that's almost triple the number of permanent residents that we have here. The median household income is, I believe, $16,000.
Really?
So we're extremely, we're faced with extreme poverty levels here within the county. However, we don't see poverty as an excuse or as a reason why students can't learn and why they can't achieve at high levels. So that's why we've decided to invest in our students, and as well as not only monetarily, but in terms of the programs that we have for our kids as well.
Mm-hmm.
Believe that once you set the bar high and you provide the necessary supports, that students will rise to those expectations and achieve dreams that they might not have had it at one time, but now they see that what's doable, what's achievable, and they go after it once they have the proper support.
Mm-hmm. I understand that when you came in, you did a huge curriculum overhaul. You worked with teachers and with a company to make sure that students were getting educated, that they left one grade level and they prepared for everything that came after that.
Yes, yes. From the start, I knew that coming in, we had a wonderful opportunity with the Baldwin Promise Scholarship Program. I had to learn a little bit more about the College Access Center, and maybe Ayanna can speak a little bit more
will.
About that. But we had to do a needs assessment of the curriculum, of instruction, the assessments that we were using throughout the district. We also had to assess the the discipline, student discipline procedures that we had enacted. We had to review the policies that govern those processes and practices. And so we did a lot in the first 2 to 3 years. We addressed discipline, student discipline issues. We created new programs to meet a broader array of our student population. We also increased the number of programs that we have for advanced students and for those students who were more motivated to seek higher education. And then the curriculum overhaul, we're still in the process of overhauling the curriculum. It's a 3-year project, but things are going extremely well. Our internal test data shows that our students are continue to improve year after year. We just started with a new balanced calendar where we have a 6-week summer break, but we have 175 school days, just like everyone else mm-hmm. in Michigan. But we have a 6-week summer break, and we have more breaks throughout the school year, more evenly distributed across the school year. This allows for more continuous instruction and learning for our students, and eliminates or reduces significantly the amount of summer learning loss that our students were experiencing.
Mm-hmm. So, Ayanna, how did you get all of these students, many of whom were thinking about college, many of whom didn't go to college, to a point where almost everybody is going to college? What did you do at the College Access Center?
Oh, my goodness. I don't know where to start. I will say this has been definitely a transformational process.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it started when I came in 2011, and they already had their first cohort of students who had received a scholarship. However, I came at the beginning of the year, so I was able to work with the second cohort of students. So basically, I started thinking of ideas. I did a couple of different trainings about, you know, how to get students to kind of change your perspective or to have this disposition that, you know, college is for me. And when we say college, we're talking about certificate programs. We're talking about 2-year schools. We're talking about 4-year schools. And even if you think the military is a fit for you, then we encourage that as well. We just want you to definitely have a decision after you graduate from high school, and so that you can be a productive citizen. So we start now with the fifth graders. We start with the fifth graders, and we take them to visit colleges. And you will be amazed at what fifth graders believe college to be. But when they go, I think they come out of like, oh, my goodness, I didn't know what college is really going to be like that. So from 5th through 10th grade, we take them to visit various colleges and universities within about at most 2-hour driving distance from us. We've done college weeks here where it's we have a number of different programs that come in for the students, specifically addressing some of the college different areas that you may need to become knowledgeable, financial aid, being a college success. We also do what I call college rep visits, and all the representatives from admissions come. We do that consecutively for 1 day a week for a number of weeks in the fall. So all these universities and colleges come in, and the students get an opportunity to talk to the admissions reps. So not only are they visiting schools, they hear the information when the reps come to the school. We also do college culture where we bring in people and professionals from different institutions or who have a specific background, and they address different topics that students may have in regards to college. We also take our students downstate to some of the area that they may not necessarily be able to drive to because it's 3 hours or further away. So we mm-hmm. visit those universities because I believe students have to experience in some of the universities that they may have interest in. We also Right now, currently, we are in college application week. And so we encourage our students to complete college applications. And that's kind of how we've definitely encouraged, but most of them were accepted last year to a higher education institution. I want to say we've, in our second day, and in the past 2 weeks, we've, and we have a small class this year. So out of the students who have participated, I think we've had about 20 or so students participated. We've already, to this point, they've already completed almost 90 applications. So we provide every opportunity we can to the students, or any obstacle that they may have, we provide a way so it won't be an obstacle for them anymore. With standardized testing, we provide them transportation to the test. We help them register. We help their parents complete a FAFSA form. We do so many things so that it wouldn't be a barrier for right. them, and so there's not a they can't say, well, I didn't know how to take care of that, or X, Y, and Z.
Right.
And we also try to provide, once they do get to school, we try to stay in contact with them to try to help them through and making sure that they don't have any roadblocks when they get there.
I would imagine that many of the parents, Ayanna, have not been to college, if many of the students prior to just a few years ago hadn't gone to college. So filling out forms and trying to maneuver that system is something that parents usually help you with. But in your school right. district's case, somebody like you is needed to do that.
Yes, and we have seen that is true. We have seen that, you know, parents will come in and talk to me that, you know, I didn't go, so I didn't know how to complete this form. Can you help me complete this form? We've done FAFSA completion, but we started doing a pre-kind of FAFSA completion for our parents because of all the changes, but also if they had any questions on how to fill out an application, and then when they do come to fill it out, you know, making sure that they understand, because I think this, all of these processes for them definitely is learning experiences for them as well. So it's not only the parent, but it's not only the student that's being educated, but it's the parent as well. And I will say that, you know, a lot of the parents, I know that they're grateful of the assistance that comes from it, because, you know, they'll let
me
know.
I'm sure. Yeah. Mr. Simmons, $5,000 a year probably isn't enough to foot the whole bill, is it?
Well, I have to say, I think it's enough, considering that the Baldwin Promise is actually a third dollar scholarship opportunity, and Ayanna can speak a little bit more about what that means, but essentially students have to apply for whatever other monies might be available, such as a Pell Grant. In Michigan, we have what's called TIP, the Tuition Incentive Program, and then if they're still in need, they are eligible for Baldwin Promise scholarship monies. We also have in the community several organizations, such as the Lake County Community Foundation, where they hold scholarships for students. And so it's really no surprise to see a senior walk away with about $20,000 in scholarship monies.
Great.
Yes, yes. So that's phenomenal, and we're still continuing to, you know, grow the different endowments and scholarship opportunities that the that we provide for students within the community. And then there's also scholarship monies that are available or provided by the various universities that they attend or that they're accepted to. So that helps out as well. For the most part, and again, Ayanna could probably expound on this a little bit better, but for the most part, our students, their tuition fees and room and board is pretty well covered.
Hmm. Well, let's hear more about this in a moment and also invite our audience to join the conversation. We're talking about the Baldwin Promise this hour. It's a small town, median income of $16,000 a year, so pretty deep poverty. People weren't going to college from Baldwin, but now because of the Baldwin Promise, which you just heard explained, almost every student is heading to an in-state post-secondary school, which is quite remarkable. And that's due to the vision of a gentleman who was working with Gerald Ford, actually, some years ago, who had this idea and got people to contribute $500, people all over, $500. If you couldn't contribute $500 at once, you could do it kind of on an installment plan. And so it's due to curriculum that's become more rigorous in the school system and also to the efforts of the College Access Center that is getting students thinking about college, helping them fill out forms, college tours for middle and high school students, and invites people from those schools to come to the high school to talk about what's going on at the college. What do you think of this kind of idea? Our phone number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. The email is talk@wpr.org. Facebook page, The Kathleen Dunn Show, and we're on Twitter as well, @KDunnShow. Styles Simmons is the superintendent of Baldwin Community Schools in Michigan. He was an elementary school teacher and was a literacy coach for Detroit Public Schools. Ayanna Richardson is the executive director of the Baldwin College Access Center and Promise Zone. Before that, she was an education director for a nonprofit in Ann Arbor, and she is instrumental in making sure that students can do all the work that's necessary to go on to college. But isn't this extraordinary? Don't you think that, you know, 2005, almost nobody went to college, and now everybody's going to college, changing the atmosphere and getting access to money? What does that say? In a very, very poor part of Michigan. We'd like to hear your response. 800-486-8655 is the number. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. All right, let's go to phone calls. 800-486-8655. John in Middleton is our first caller for you. Hi, John.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Pretty good. My question is, do the new graduates have jobs in Baldwin, or they're going to suffer brain drain?
Hmm. Ayanna, you want to take that, or Styles?
Well, I don't have the hard statistics, but I can tell you that that is a question that we get quite often, and that's an issue that's been prevalent here in Baldwin. Ever since, I would say, the 70s, my father-in-law served as a long-term board member, and that's one of the things he used to always talk about, you know, coming up with ways or programs to retain the students once they graduated from high school and went off to college. So what we're experiencing, students going off to college and in relocating or not coming back, is something that's pretty much been happening here in the Baldwin area for quite some time. I wouldn't necessarily call it a brain drain. I would say that the students who do return come back and they offer their talents and their skills to help move the county forward. A lot of the folks that we talked about who were instrumental in starting the Baldwin Promise were, in fact, graduates who had left, and then they came back to retire, or they came back seeking whatever employment opportunities were available, and they really pushed the change agenda forward.
Ayanna, give us an idea of what the students want to major in, and are there jobs in those fields available in Baldwin?
I think most students, we have a wide variety. I want to say, just looking at some of the majors that a number of the students in the class of 2015 are pursuing, we have students who graphic design. We have a couple students who are going into pre-medicine. We have business students that are interested in business and nursing. So it's been a wide variety, I would say. While I think not directly, we have some business, a lot of business owners here, so there's some opportunities to be entrepreneurs here in Baldwin. But we do also, I would say, within a 30-mile radius, have some businesses and opportunities that students could possibly find employment with if they were to return back to this area.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, John, for your call. We go next to Melody in Manitowish Waters. Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
I just want to say I think that this is really inspirational, and I'm from a really small town in upstate New York that's really impoverished and drug-ridden, and when you have a beacon of hope of college and positive influences around you, it makes you feel like there's a future. And I think this is really inspirational for the youth and the future of our country and world as a whole.
Melody, did many of the people you went to high school with go on to college?
They did not.
Mm-hmm.
But I wish we had this program in every single rural school everywhere.
Is it an unusual program? I know that Michigan has done more in this regard, but is Michigan alone, or are there a lot of other states that have instituted such programs? Stiles?
I don't think Michigan is alone, but Michigan is definitely leading the the college access efforts. In fact, the First Lady, Michelle Obama, visited, I believe, either a school or Wayne State University this past May for the National Decision Day program that they held. And she spoke about the effort to do more or to have more programs such as Promise Zones and college access centers across the nation.
Hmm. Would you like to respond to that too, Ayanna? Do you feel like you're...
Yes, definitely. I would say when it comes to... we are unique, Baldwin, in the sense that we have a college access center and a promise that's operating under one roof. We have in various communities a lot of college access networks that provide a lot of these resources, but there are few promise zones. I will say that since the promise movement has started, which people say Kalamazoo was the city that started this movement, we have seen so much growth in the promise zone movement. I want to say to date, there's a little over 40 promise zones within the United States, and actually there's about to be the 10th year anniversary for Kalamazoo, and it's going to be celebrated in November in a couple weeks here in Kalamazoo.
Hmm.
So that movement, from when I first started working with promise zones to today, it has just moved in leaps and bounds, because you have other cities that have promise zones now. And when you look at the college access movement, that has also grown tremendously. And Michigan has been a state which they are continuously trying to improve the effort and also expand as many networks as they have here in the state of Michigan.
Mm-hmm. I understand, Mr. Simmons, that you have students start thinking about college when they're very, very young, right? So then they might even be in kindergarten or in first grade, and perhaps people in their family haven't even thought of attending college, so that you get it in their minds that one of these days they're going to do that.
Yes, and if I understand the question correctly, you're asking if we have, if we're building the college-going culture down to the kindergarten levels?
Right.
Yes, in fact, the cover of the Atlantic Monthly article, there was a sign with a bunch of, like, cut-out faces of children that read, College Begins in Kindergarten. That sign symbolizes the staff's belief that all students will participate in a meaningful post-secondary opportunity or be prepared for meaningful post-secondary opportunities once they leave high school. And so I would have to say that although you never stop building culture, that was one of the biggest challenges coming in to help everyone understand that we all play a very important part and helping students understand that they need to be prepared for meaningful post-secondary opportunities by the time they leave our system.
Do they have to maintain a certain grade point average to stay in the program once in college?
Oh, in regards to the Promise Program?
Yes.
All students who graduate from the school district are eligible to receive scholarship funding. And once you enter into post-secondary education, you must maintain a 2.0 GPA,
mm-hmm.
which is pretty standard at most institutions in order for you to be academically eligible. So you must maintain that. But we have set up, we understand life happens, things happen. So we do allow students to have what we call a probation period. And so even if you fail below that 2.0, we will continue to provide the scholarship, but we would like to see a progress from that semester
mm-hmm.
that you might have not done so well.
Mm-hmm. Well, part of this, and I know that you have to leave, and we're going to be speaking with a student in a moment, Mr. Simmons, but part of your program, too, is just due to this really creative idea from a gentleman who thought that this should be available to Baldwin young people, right? It's pretty amazing what people can decide to do and have it become a reality.
Yes, absolutely. But it just speaks to the importance of the community and the school working hand in hand to accomplish whatever goals have been set. And although this is a very ambitious goal, we are definitely on the right path, and together we're going to help our students realize their potential and realize their dreams.
Thank you very much for being with us. All the best to you and continued success. Stiles Simmons, our other guest, is staying with us, and in a few moments we will be joined by a student who's currently at Oakland University in Rochester, Michigan. She's studying graphic design, and she graduated from Baldwin just last June and grew up in a small town, had a difficult early life, and she's off to college. Joining us, though, for the whole hour is Ayanna Richardson, Executive Director of the Baldwin College Access Center and Promise Zone. And we're talking about this school district that was featured in a very interesting Atlantic Monthly piece just a little while ago, where students used to not go to college, and due to this promise, where a gentleman who was involved in politics actually just asked everybody to give $500 so that people could go to college and invested the money, and now $5,000 per year for 4 years to every single graduate of Baldwin High School, regardless of merit or need. And as a result of that, lots and lots of young people are going on to college. Our phone number, lines are open for you right now, 800-486-8655. Our email is talk@wpr.org. Facebook page, The Kathleen Dunn Show, and we're on Twitter at K Dunn Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. All right, we continue our conversation, and we'll take a phone call before we meet our student, and it's Steve in Madison. Hi, Steve.
Yeah. Who again is the organizer of this? His name?
The organizer, Ayanna?
We're speaking to.
When the program was essentially created.
Yes.
Richard Simonson.
Okay.
Which people know him as Rick.
Since you're calling Wisconsin, I'm pessimistic, or I'm worried for you. As you're interviewing in a state where the governor is extremely anti-education, and as we look at the roster of Republican presidential candidates, there's a strong anti-intellectual or anti-education bias there. I'm wondering, although you have a wonderful program and it's organized by a former Republican operative, what objections you might anticipate from any GOP policymakers at any level. It sounds like a really good program, but it's just waiting to be hammered down by GOP personnel, candidates who would be opposed to it.
Have you received opposition from people?
No, actually, most bills that were passed in relation to this have been bipartisan.
Mm-hmm.
So you would, one of the things here about, I would say this has been one of those situations where you have had them working together. And the first legislation that was created, I want to say back in 2008 or 2009, it has always been an effort of working together. And, you know, as we go on and as we move forward with the program that we have here in the other communities, there are sometimes things that, you know, some of the parties may not necessarily like. However, I've seen since I've been here, they've all been working together, I guess, at the end of the day for the students and the education to provide for these students.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's nice to hear. Bipartisan efforts. That's good. Thank you, Steve, very much for your call. Joining our conversation now is Jerisa Lewis, who is currently a student at Oakland University in Rochester, Michigan. She's studying graphic design, and she graduated from Baldwin High School in 2015, so she's just started college. And Jerisa, thank you very much for being with us.
You're welcome. Thank you for inviting me to be on this show with you guys.
Yeah, our great pleasure. So was college something that you even thought of, say, 8 years ago?
Yeah, my family really encouraged college because they started college but didn't finish. So they really encouraged me to start and finish it in order to have a great career.
Mm-hmm. And I understand that you applied to and you really were accepted at a number of schools in Michigan.
Yeah, I applied to 10 schools and was accepted to 9.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah. So has anybody in your family, your immediate family, graduated from college, Jerisa?
No.
So you'll be the first one?
Yes.
Yeah. And there are 5 children in your family?
Yeah, and I have a stepsister.
Uh-huh. So tell me about going to school at Baldwin and all that Ayanna and others did to get you excited about college and prepared for college. What did the school do for you?
Well, when I went to Baldwin schools, I started off my sophomore year because my freshman year and like the beginning of my sophomore year, I was in Big Rapids High School.
Mm-hmm.
And Baldwin was like a more, like they're focused on the kids individually, unlike Big Rapids, which helped me a lot because they looked at us, like, in general, like, what would make us do better. And so they would come up with programs like the GEMS program. We had that during the summer, and I went both summers.
What is that program? What does that program do? Yeah.
It's general educators of math and science. Mm-hmm. And you basically just take classes during the summer at Grand Valley State University.
Mm.
And it kind of gets you ready for classes that you might take the following year.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of helped me. That made my grades shoot up it made them shoot up. And it made me understand how I'm supposed to study and like what I need to do to keep my grades up and how to focus.
Mm-hmm.
And for college wise, what Miss Ayanna and Dwayne, they organized a few college tours for us to visit colleges in Michigan. So we visited colleges like Wayne State, U of M, Michigan State, and a few community colleges, so it shows students that there's not just Ivy League schools around. You can go to community colleges first and then think about a university.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, so I looked at those, and I had to think about what I wanted to do in order to pick what school I wanted to.
Sure.
And there was only 2 schools that had what I wanted, and it was Oakland and Eastern. And when we, like, the first time we went to Oakland, because she had college tours 2 years in a row, I went, 3 years, and they had Oakland, and I went twice. So the first time, my mom, she looked at it, and she was like, I really like this school. And I was like, I think I want to go to a different one. And then, like, when we went to the other ones, I was like, I might think about going to Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
And so my senior year, we went to a personal tour to Grand Rapids Community and for my brother because he hasn't been to a college, and we were thinking about going to a community college first instead. And Miss Ayanna was like heavily pressuring me, like she was telling me you don't want to do that. Like you can do, like she highly thought that I could do much better in a university because like I had better standards and I could challenge myself. So
right.
I really thought about that. And when it was decision day, I was like, I probably should consider going to university because going to community college, I've already been there and I experienced like how I need to study and my study habits. So I should do fine at the university.
Mm-hmm.
And so decision day, I chose Oakland University. And, yep.
And you're studying graphic design, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And tell me, Ayanna, more about this program where you spend part of a summer studying on a campus?
Oh, yes. We co-sponsor a number of programs as well. And one of the programs that we sponsor, co-sponsor in the summer, is for our 9th through 11th graders. And they go spend, depends on how the program is actually set up for the summer, but either 4 to 6 weeks at one of the universities that's here, which is Grand Valley State University. And it's a program called GEMS, which is Growing Educators in Math and Science. And one of the reasons it focuses on clearly math and science, you know, a lot of people are looking for trying to push the STEM field. And in addition to that, education. Education also is, there's a lack of teachers as well in that, in education. So the program essentially is set up for the students in the summer. They learn about introduction to education. They take a math class. They take a science class. And they also take maybe something that's not really curriculum-based, maybe something that's fun. And
right.
They stay there for the whole summer. They actually are like a college student. They go to the classes. They receive a credit for the classes that they take, but they receive it as a high school credit. But the courses are classes that they are going to take in the fall when they return back to school as a student.
Mm-hmm.
And Jerisa also mentioned my push for her to go into a four-year institution. Jerisa's reasoning for wanting to go to a community college was because financially she didn't think she would be able to afford a four-year institution.
Mm-hmm.
And so she worked hard to do some breakdowns of financial aid, and I told her, well, with the promise, we'll pay this, and so then you only have to worry about this. So we went back and forth about her decision, and it was more also a push that, because I truly believe that students should go and actually pursue education their best fit. And I just wanted her, she fell in love with that university at one point, but then she kind of changed her mind based on the financial commitment at another point. So I just wanted to show her that you could academically excel here, but and financially we'll help you to go there. So,
mm-hmm. So how has it been? Has it been a struggle, or are you progressing along nicely? And what were the biggest transitions for you, Jerisa?
I think my biggest transition is, like, I'm still trying to manage my time because there are, like, a lot of things to do on campus. So I might overcommit myself to a few things, and I have to start dropping different clubs and stuff because I realize that my schedule is too packed
right.
to contribute to all of those clubs and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I've gotten the hang of it now. But, like, my first few weeks, I have been struggling.
Yeah, it's hard. It's a big transition, don't you think? It
yeah.
really is, to be in charge of managing all of your own time. My problem was there was an ice cream store down the street, and ice cream wasn't that expensive, and I was working too through college, so I'd stop in there several times a day. Yeah, that will happen. Do you stay in touch with your students, Ayanna, so you'll be helping Jerisa make the transition?
Well, what happens before they leave, we do have one of our college cultures. We do try to provide them with the college transition program/session. so they can have some, know a little bit of what to expect. But typically I do stay in touch with them within the first 2 years. And most students, they typically also reach back out to me. Jerisa, she was definitely, when she was here, I saw great improvement from her coming from another school district to come in here. Like she mentioned, her grades had increased. I saw, you know, in her, I'm quite sure we'll continue to stay in contact. But, yes, most of the students I do, we, you know, now students, Facebook and Twitter. So a lot of them we do communicate through Facebook. And then a lot of them do come back home here and there to visit Baldwin as they still have family that's here.
Sure.
So sometimes I have little guests stop by and visitors come and see me. So,
How did you choose graphic design, Jerisa?
Well, at first I was thinking about, I've changed my mind a lot about like what I really want to do. Like when I first thought about what I wanted to do, I wanted to be an OBGYN because I liked babies. And then I looked up on what they had to do and I was like, ew, that's no.
Yeah. So,
I looked into fashion and designing, and most of, like, only, like, Wayne State and Eastern had those. So I looked into graphic design because that's, like, something I can make my own website or design, like, other people's website. It's, like, a more broader major to where I can do fashion and stuff, like I can have my own design line and stuff, but I can also make my websites and stuff to advertise it on my own or advertise others.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm wondering, she made reference, Jerisa, Ayanna, to the size of the district. She came from a larger district to Baldwin. Does a program like this only work? Most schools are much, much larger than what you have in Baldwin. Would it work for a larger school?
I think any program can work in any school district. I think it's just having the proper, I guess, personnel in place and also having an actual program and actually having some objectives, some goals, some things that you can achieve with those programs. I definitely understand, you know, now that a lot of students may come from a larger district and may not have this one-on-one or may not have, you know, what we can provide here because we're smaller. But do I think things or a program like this can work other places? Yes, I do. Do I think it takes time? Do I think, and I would say yes with that, so I wouldn't expect somebody to say, oh, let's start a program today, and then tomorrow all of our students are going to be applying for school.
Right.
Or tomorrow our FAFSA rates are going to go from 40% to 80%. No, it takes time, and that's what I tell a lot of people, that, you know, it didn't happen overnight.
Mm-hmm.
This still is a journey, to be honest with you. This is still something that, while we may have had this program for 5 years, while we may have our seventh cohort worth of class of 2016
mm-hmm.
going and receiving Promise scholarships, it's still in its infancy.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that now, if you ask me 20 years, okay, yeah, I can, you know, no, we wouldn't be still in our infancy. But I definitely think anything is possible if you have a plan in place.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned your brother, Jerisa. Is he going to college soon?
Yes. This is his last year. He's a senior.
Oh, he is?
Yes.
So you have to be an inspiration for him as well, right?
Yes.
And what's he thinking of doing?
You said, what did you say?
Where is he thinking of going? What's he thinking of doing?
Well, he said that he wanted to come here to Oakland, but he might have to start at West Shore.
What is that?
West Shore Community College.
Oh, uh-huh.
Yes, yeah, in Scottsdale.
And that's a fine place for people to start school, at a community college, Ayanna, don't you think?
Yep. I think we have had a number of students start at community colleges. And, you know, like I tell a lot of the students, it's all about your fit. But at the same time, don't be afraid if you fit into something that has a higher standard, because that's the other thing I definitely encourage. If you can be accepted into a four-year institution, and you should go ahead. Do not go because you are afraid of that challenge. And a two-year institution is good as in it as well. It's all about what will work for you and what you're trying to achieve in the long run. And
thank you so much for being with us. I'm sorry, we are plumb out of time. Interesting program. The article we'll put on our Facebook page in case you'd like to learn more about what's going on in Baldwin School District. It's quite a fascinating story. Thanks to Scotty Myers for producing this hour. Ayanna Richardson and Jerisa Lewis, our guest, the second portion of the program. And we thank Stiles Simmons for being with us as well. Thanks to KP Whaley for on-air production here in our studios in downtown Milwaukee. Until tomorrow.